The three biggest questions that everyone asks can start being answered in fall camp this week.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Football practice is almost here. We're so dadgum close. And some of the questions that we all ask or have been asking all offseason, since the final second ticked away from the season last year, since you hired a new staff, you brought in new players, all the question, the three biggest questions are going to finally start to be at least worked on to find the answer. You know, fall camp is where you really, really build your team. They're going old school a little bit. We'll talk about that as well. But we're going to talk about offensive line. Can they finally not be a liability? Will the defense take a step back, or can they at least maintain the intensity and what they were able to create last year? And then, you know what? Can Auburn finish? Doesn't matter if it's ugly. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Can Auburn finish again? Let's jump into it. There's no doubt that the number one question when you talk to any Auburn fan, I was just at an Auburn club recently, and when we started asking questions, the first question that's asked, we got to talk about offensive line. Any video, any podcast you do where there's any talk about offense, running game, quarterback, wide receivers, you're going to see a litany of comments that are all similar to, none of it matters if the offensive line can't get it done. It really does feel like it's not just that the offensive line haven't been good. They've literally been a liability for several seasons now. And it's been a liability for multiple reasons. Sometimes you just haven't had the guys. Sometimes it's just been a talent issue. I don't think it's always been a talent issue, but there's been times when you just didn't have an SEC caliber insert position on the offensive line. Left tackle, right tackle, center. It's been something different, it feels like, and it's been multiple things for a lot of years. And then there's some times where I just don't think we were coached very well. I don't think you had a very good plan. And I'm really speaking to last season more than anything. Guys, it's not going to shock me. I know there's going to be a lot of people that maybe roll their eyes at this. It's not going to shock me if Xavier Chaplin has a really good year and is drafted reasonably high. It's not going to, I mean, you had two draft picks on the offensive line last year. I think the talent was there last year. The pieces were there last year that I think Auburn had no reason whatsoever to be so bad on the offensive line. It wasn't just that they gave up untimely sacks. It wasn't just that there were times where it felt like when you had to get those extra yards, you couldn't get it done. It was just the ins and outs and basic stuff about being an offensive line and communicating. Just basic execution stuff, the pre-snap penalties, the not seeming to have an answer for noise, that's coaching. So when people really ask me, when they ask me about the offensive line, hey, what do you think about the offensive line from a talent perspective? I'm gonna be honest. I think from a top-end talent perspective, this offensive line may be a little bit less talented than last year. But that doesn't mean that they can't be good. They can't be serviceable. I think what we're going to, or at least what I hope we discover this year, is that coaching matters. Scheme matters. You can hide some deficiencies if you're worth your salt, you know, as a coach at this level. Obviously, you like the what you got at center. You got some really good competition at both guard spots. I think you have some good tackle options. Most good coaches can make stuff like that work. Most coaches that are successful are able to take their personnel and then mold a game plan around them. Most coaches are malleable. Most coaches that are successful are malleable. And I really think that's what we're going to find out this year. That you can take, you obviously, I want to have, you know, all first rounders on the offensive line. I don't think it's realistic anymore, really, for anyone. But I think what we're going to find out is that you can take guys that are just willing to be disciplined and willing to work hard and have a little bit of talent, and you can achieve pretty good things. You can be effective. You cannot be a liability. Auburn's, man, when Auburn was winning at its best, you just had those mean, menacing offensive lines, and yeah, you had some draft picks, but it wasn't like they were just chock full of draft picks. Just really good coaching, really good execution, and have a little bit of a mean streak to them. And hopefully that can be, I kind of see that in Alex Golish, and hopefully some of that can be sort of placed onto the offensive line to kind of emulate his personality. So I don't know. I don't know exactly the answer, but you get to start trying to answer the question on Wednesday, first practice. Auburn fans, I know, man, we're gun shy when it comes to offensive line. We're nervous. But I got a sneaky feeling that what we're going to find out this season is that talent is not all of the equation. Talent does not override coaching all the way. You still got to be able to go develop those guys. And I think this staff has what it takes to put at least a serviceable product on the field when we're talking about offensive line. And it does help, obviously, that you got a quarterback back there like Byron Brown. It does help that you got a pretty solid stable of running backs. And you got a bunch of guys that know the system. They know how to execute. So you're at least ahead of the game. You know, they always talk about the defense being ahead of the offense early on. Maybe that can level the playing field a little bit. We'll see. Got another question that's burning that I know fans are asking that you'll get to kind of start answering. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care and Opelika. Beat the heat. Still hot. Boy, I can't imagine football practice this week. Whew. I saw LSU had air conditioners in their helmets, which is pretty cool. I guess you could even get that checked at Precision Tune if you wanted to. They do the free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis. Make sure your AC is running at tip-top shape. And then if you need any repairs over $300, you can take $50 off. They're open at 7 a.m. Drop it off between 7 and 9 and get a $50 oil change at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then go to buyauburn.com. If you're an Auburn fan and you need to make a purchase of anything or looking for a service of any type, start with Auburn people. Want to build this thing where we have Auburn people everywhere. Doesn't matter what area you're in, you can find some Auburn person to do business with. It's less than a dollar a day. If you're a business owner and you want to list your business, you get a chance to do a business spotlight podcast. Show us some love. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. Another burning question that I know fans ask and are concerned about is, hey, is there going to be a defensive drop-off? Because if so, it's going to be really concerning because defense kept us in games last year. You lost a first-rounder on the defensive line. You lost several guys to the portal that you had to replace. Can the defense at least maintain? Maybe not take a step forward, but can they at least maintain? And I think that's a fascinating question because of all of those reasons. Yeah, you did have a lot to replace. And yes, when you go look statistically, I know some people might roll their eyes when you talk about the defense being good, but when you look at it statistically, the stats don't necessarily jump out at you, but I think anybody that watched Auburn football last year, I don't think any of them ever felt like, dadgummit, the defense blew that one for us. You look at that stretch of games, those four losses, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, Missouri, I just felt like the defense was phenomenal in those four games, and you just couldn't get it done. Doing very similar to the offensive line question or scenario, from an overall talent perspective, proven talent. Let's go with that, proven talent. Yeah, there's some question marks out there. There's some question marks on the defensive line. We believe Cody Sigler, from all reports, is going to be phenomenal. Hadn't seen it. Can he be as effective as Malik Blockton? That's your trade right there. There are guys on the offensive side that talk about him and rave about him. There are guys in the same room with him that talk about him and rave about him. Keldrick Falk, you know, he was sort of a do-it-all guy. Do you have that person on the roster? Don't know. You got guys that you think could be that guy. You got Deshaun Womack, who has all the tools in the toolbox and hasn't really had that breakout year yet. You got, can you replace Kieron Crawford? No, he wasn't just a sack machine, but he affected quarterbacks, man. He moved guys off their spot. I think he was very, very frustrating to opposing defenses. Do you have that guy? You feel like Jared Smith can be him. You feel like maybe J.J. Falk can provide some help there. There's a bunch of guys that you have that you feel like on paper could be just as good as that defensive line last year. But those are things you start finding out very, very early. I think the defensive line had a great spring. Bringing Dallas Walker back is going to be magical for this defensive line. I think he lost a little bit of weight and could be more of just a couple down guy. I think he could play a much heavier load than in past. There's a good rotation of guys, your young guys, You know, your Malik Autry, your Jordan Crawford. Good rotation of guys that are unproven. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks on the defensive line. The pieces are there. You get to start answering that and figuring it out here starting on Wednesday. Linebacker room, there's not much to talk about there. They're elite, period. End of story. And they got depth. It's all about keeping everybody happy, I think, and just executing. I think Xavier Atkins is ready to go maul people. Elijah Melendez is ready to go rack up some medical bills for opposing offenses. And you got Bryce Diaz chomping at the bit to play. And then you got DeMarcus Riddick, who I've said consistently that I feel like has the highest ceiling of any linebacker on the team. Where does he fit in? Does the light come on for him finally? Or do they find carve a little gadget role for him again? I'd kind of like to see that a little bit more. And then you go into the back end. So to back up, linebacker should be better than last year. Defensive line's got some question marks. Linebacker should be better than last year. The safeties and corners. When you look at it statistically, it looks like that the secondary was pretty vulnerable last year. I don't think from a statistical standpoint, they were super duper impressive. But you got a lot of guys coming back, particularly at safety, that didn't have a ton of time to play last year, but they're uber talented. And then I think you really feel like you knocked it out of the park with Andre Jordan. And then you're going to have a battle over there on the other side at corner. Guys like Gavin Jenkins, Rayshon Pleasant, Champ Anthony, Blake Woodby, all really good players. And it feels like you're going to be able to find something pretty competitive, out of that mix. So could you see a defensive drop-off? Maybe. It doesn't have to be detrimental, though, if you can have any type of offensive production on the other side. Could you see a defensive drop-off statistically, too, just based off philosophy? Will they actually be more attacking? Will they actually gamble more and take more risks? Is that a viable game plan? I think you start figuring that out, too, as practice starts. And then the last thing, and I had this conversation yesterday, we're talking about Auburn just being able to finish, man. That stretch of games, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Missouri, were all what I would call ugly wins for the opposing team. Oklahoma, think about Oklahoma. You had to have a touchdown late. I think they scored with like two minutes to go or something like that. Had to have a touchdown late. Auburn just was so – I know that Mateer banged up his thumb, but Auburn frustrated the crap out of them. Got the ball back up so many times. Texas A&M. I know Auburn scored later in the game with that interception by Xavier Atkins, but 16-10. Georgia, 20-10. Auburn should have been up 17-0 in that game. The point of that, though, is those three teams just found ways to win, and all three of those teams made the playoffs. If that's a singular game on their schedule, they're probably griping and complaining and saying, dang, man, we should have lost that game. How are we going to make the playoffs? But you know what? You got to win those games. Auburn won a bunch of ugly games when they were at their best. Back that stretch, other than 2004, there was not very many close games, but 2005, 2006, those were some ugly games. In 2010, those were some really ugly wins. That Clemson game could have gone – I mean, they dropped a touchdown to win the game in overtime, and they missed a field goal. I mean, good teams, good Auburn teams, find ways to finish. It's been the opposite of that the last several years. It's not finding ways to finish. It's finding ways to come undone. That's what when you see all of the things that Golish says, you know, talking about the little things and the standards and the attention to detail, that's how those things equate to struggle wins. I'll take 12 struggle wins. I don't care. I don't need style points. You don't need style points anymore. You just got to figure out a way to get to 9 to 10 wins, and you can be in the playoff hunt by any means necessary. That needs to be the mantra. By any means necessary. It doesn't matter if it's 35 to 28. Doesn't matter if you win 17 to 10. Just win. Can they figure out how to do this? Do that again. The little things give me hope that you can right the ship there. All of those questions, you get to start trying to work on the answer finally on Wednesday. You don't have to talk about it anymore. We don't have to speculate on it anymore. We just get to see it in action. And I can't wait. I know you guys can't wait too. I will say this, though. This offseason has flown by to me. I know maybe it's drug along for you guys, but it's flown by for me. Auburn's kind of going old school where they're doing fall camp. I say old school. It's like it's so tough. They're all going to go to like a singular place to stay during fall camp, so that it's kind of like old school camp, like going to the old school dorms. Oh, you've seen the movie like Junction Boys, where they all go out of this place and somewhere in Texas, and they stay in these old rusty shacks. It's not obviously not going to be that. They're going to practice here, but instead of everybody going on their separate ways, I think they're all going to be going and staying in one separate location throughout fall camp. No class. Don't got to worry about that until the 17th. No distractions. Just football, man. And I dig it. Can't wait. Guys, let me know what you think. Let me know if there's any other storylines that I missed. I think those are definitely the most important, though. Appreciate y'all listening. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. We'll be back again real soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.